Please pray with me. Dear kind and righteous Father, we're thankful for this day and for this opportunity you've given us on this day. We were thankful, Lord, for being able to have breath in our bodies, and we're thankful for the opportunity we have to learn more about your word this evening. We pray, Lord, for your manservant, Brother Spann, as he delivers your message this evening. We pray, Lord, he is able to convey it in such a way, Lord, that those who may not be members may know what is required of them to be saved, and that he also elevate your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that the souls that hear this message this evening, that you bless us with the increase. We pray, Lord, that the seeds that are planted, the seeds that will continue to give the increase, if it is your blessing, Lord, to reverberate through this entire nation, Lord. We pray, Lord, at this difficult time in the world, Lord, that we're able to show your Son, show the love your Son has for every human being, and to also show his church, the church of Christ, by which men can be saved. Lord, we're thankful for the blood that your Son shed on the cross. Thankful for the message of the gospel. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We are very thankful tonight for the success of this meeting. We started it in May, and we're encouraged that we had to add a third line. We're in the testing phase right now. We'll open it up in July, but the call volume has increased. We're thankful for our brethren from GBN and the Memphis School of Preaching, those who are helping us with the commercials and things of that nature. And we're so thankful to have each and every one of you on tonight. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to know you are very honored and distinguished guest of the audience. We want you to know that you are our VIP. That means you're a very important person to us. Your soul is precious. That makes you important to us because you're not a member of the Church of Christ. We believe in the Churches of Christ that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And we believe there are people like us who want to do it just the way God said do it, without addition or subtraction. And that's what we believe in the Churches of Christ. So tonight, we're glad to have you all. Please open your Bible, follow along with our speaker, take notes of a thing. Remember, we're introducing you to what you must do to save your precious soul. Please listen attentively. Our speaker tonight, Brother Norman Spann Jr., he labors at the Westside Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, for 3 years. He's a graduate of Memphis School of Preaching. Been preaching for about 23 years, married to Clara Spann. He loves the Lord and preaching the gospel of Christ. I'm so thankful that he's accepted our invitation tonight. Please give your attention to him because he will speak to us from the topic, the truth about how to avoid torment after death. Brother Spann, can you tell us that truth?
Yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to give honor to God for this opportunity to be with you on tonight. I'm thankful to Brother Brooks and to the leadership of the Highland Heights Church of Christ for this effort and for having me as a part of this nationwide gospel conference call. I want to start by saying this is a gospel conference call about truth. And truth is, we are going to talk about a subject that a lot of people do not talk about. One of the reasons for not talking about this subject is that many do not believe in this subject or do not want to accept this subject. The subject being referred to is torment after death, which is being referred to, as the second death. Torment is only found in the pit of eternal hell. And I'll call your attention to the book of Revelation. The chapter is 20, and the verses are 12 through 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. For the Bible says in Revelation 20, beginning with verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Torment is only found in the pit of eternal hell. The topic given me for this lesson is the truth about how to avoid torment after death. How to avoid torment after death. Well, tonight I have been given a task. First is to help you to see that hell is real. The second thing is to help you to learn how to avoid torment. And then the third thing is to help you to understand what you gain by avoiding the torment of hell. And so I'll call your attention to our first point, that hell is real. Hell is real. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so if the word of God is truth, it's what we can base everything that hinges upon our religious beliefs. It's what everything hinges upon about what we believe in God. If the word is truth, then we need to find the truth about hell, about torment, and about how to avoid torment after death. First of all, you need to recognize that there are so many scriptures that teach us of this place called hell. You need to know that here is a real picture of hell, and we're going to see it. The word hell comes from the word Gehenna, and it came from the Valley of Hinnom, where the Canaanites used to burn their children in the fire unto the god of Molech. This place was south of Jerusalem, and after the children of Israel returned from captivity, this place became a place of defilement. It's where all their refuge would go. They threw it there, and they would burn it with fire, and that fire would burn perpetually. That means continually. And so this began to be a punishment to and for the wicked. And so the word hell in the King James Version, in the original, is translated Gehenna, and it's used 12 times in the New Testament. 11 of those times is used by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. The only other time it's used is found in the book of James. And of course, we're just talking about in New Testament passages. And James refers to it when he talks about the tongue in James chapter 3 and the verses 6. The Bible says in James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And here it is, and it is set on fire of hell. Listen, I want you to learn something tonight, and that is that hell is not a figment of your imagination. It is not a place that you want to be for eternity. It is a place of destruction. It is a place of eternal pain. It is a place of torment for your entire existence. We're talking time without end, when time is no more. And the truth is, it was prepared not for you and I, but for the devil and his angels. I want you to listen to Matthew in Matthew chapter 25 and the verse is 41 as he records our Lord having said this. Matthew 25, verse 41, the Bible says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed," now watch this now, "into everlasting fire." You see, this is a fire that will never be quenched, and you will never get out of this fire. But notice what he says, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, hell was never prepared for mankind. But because mankind wants to continue to keep living the way they're living, well, it's going to be big enough for you. I don't know if you caught that, but when Jesus is speaking, he says, no longer will it just be for the devil and his angels. You see, it's also going to be for those who refuse to surrender to the will of God. Isaiah chapter 5 and the verses 14. I'll call your attention there. Isaiah 5, verse 14. The Bible says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." You see, hell has gotten larger because more and more people are walking without the counsel of God. Listen, but hell is everlasting. Hell is eternal. It is not here on earth as some want to believe, and it will accept all who make their eternal abode within. I tell you what, ask the rich man in Luke chapter 16, and the verses are 19 through 31. The rich man, I'm talking about the one who fared sumptuously every day. That means he had the meal of his choice every day, as he wore purple and fine linen, you know, the best of the best. Outside of his gate was laid a beggar by the name of Lazarus, who simply desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, and the rich man would not. I'll call your attention to Luke 16. Notice with me verses 22 through 24. The Bible says in Luke 16, beginning with verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried." You see, we have one here that was carried while another was buried. But he continues by saying, "And in hell he," the rich man, "lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus, the beggar, in his bosom. And he cries and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." You see, the rich man opens his eyes in hell, being in torment, and now he's asking for the same amount of mercy that he was not willing to extend to this beggar, which had the opportunity to do such. He was able to help this beggar, but he refused to do it. You know why? Because he only thought about himself. Listen, there are four things that you can learn about hell that he learned about hell. Number one, he noticed that death comes suddenly. Number two, he noticed that hell is real. Number three, he noticed you cannot change your destiny. Number four, he noticed it is too late to be an evangelist. Listen, while some people believe that hell is right here on earth, well, you do not want to wait until it's too late to find out that hell is real and it's not here on this earth. And that, my friends, brings me to the second point of the lesson. To learn how to avoid the torments of hell. You see, to escape the tragedy of hell, one must surrender to God's will that he might be saved. In order to be saved, one must first learn that he's lost. I'll call your attention to Romans chapter 3, and the verse is 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Where Paul says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Paul says that no one is better than anyone else. We all have sinned. And what he shows us is that when we sin, we fall short of God's glory. Well, how do we do that, Paul? Well, I'll call your attention to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And let John explain this to us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. John says, "Whosoever committed sin transgresseth or goes against the law." He says, "For sin is the transgression of the law." In essence, in order to transgress God's law, it's like having a bullseye and having something that you're shooting, such as a dart or an arrow, and trying to hit that mark in the center. Well, as long as you miss that mark in the center, then you're hitting everywhere around that center. You have not yet hit your goal. Well, when we transgress the law of God, we come outside of the will of God, and anywhere outside, we cannot be saved. And we're trying to get back to the inside where salvation is. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. He said, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, the payment for it, the penalty for sin, he says, is death. And here's the key. We all deserve it. But the beauty of being in Christ Jesus is the fact that Jesus Christ paid for our sins with his own blood while hanging on a cross. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, and let's listen to the prophet Isaiah as he describes for us and gives us a vivid picture of Jesus being the sacrifice for us. Isaiah 53, and pick up with me at verse number 4. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, he says, "Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He said, "Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Drop down to verse 10. And notice with me verses 10 through 12. He said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall his righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressor, and he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now follow me over to the book of 1 John chapter 1 and the verses of 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1 and the verses of 5 through 7. John says this: "This then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Here it is. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." You see, it's the blood that cleanses us from all of our sins, that we must come in contact with that blood of Christ in order to have or to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us," watch this now, "and washed us." How did he wash us? "From our sins in his own blood." You see, we come in contact with the blood of Christ through baptism for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. Paul says it's an operation that takes place. Come with me to Colossians chapter 2 and the verses of 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 2 and the verses of 12 through 14. Well, the Bible says in Colossians 2, beginning with verse 12, he says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it away," or out of the way, "nailing it to the cross." You see, in essence, Paul is telling us that when we go down in the watery grave of baptism, we have faith that God is doing a spiritual operation on us. It's during that time that we come in contact with the saving blood of Christ. And when the operation is done, the blood covers us. We come up out of that water as a new creation in Christ, and our old sins have been nailed to the cross with Christ. Listen to Paul as he tells us where to find the blessings of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I'll call your attention to 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verse is 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, and the verse is 4, where Peter says, "Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love." You see, when we come into contact with the blood of Christ and we're raised to walk in the newness of life, we are escaping the corruption that's due to this world. And so I'm saying, in order to escape the tragedies of hell, one has to be in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You want to avoid the torments of hell? You need to be in Christ according to his will and not man's. But that brings us to our third and final point for the lesson. Understand what you gain by escaping the torments of hell. Oh, yes, you gain something when you come to God. First of all, you gain eternal life. I'll call your attention to 2 Peter, the chapter is 1, and I want you to notice with me verses 5 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, and my time is running out, so I need you to run with me quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. But notice verse 11. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you gain eternal life. But there's something else you gain, eternity with God. John chapter 14 and the verses of 1 through 3. John says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, eternity with God is better than anything we'll face on this earth. But then lastly, what you will gain is an eternal inheritance that cannot be taken. Come with me to 1 Peter, the chapter is 1, and the verses are 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, and the verses are 3 through 5. Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He says, watch this now, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who are the you that you're talking about, Peter? Look at verse number 5. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, in my conclusion, you might be saying on this evening, now I know without a doubt hell is real, and you're right to believe that. You might have said through the course of this lesson, I want to escape the tragedies or the torment of death and hell. And you have a right to believe that. And now you might be saying, I'm sure that I understand what I gain by escaping hell, and I'm glad that you've come to that decision. And so I hope that you are now saying that you're ready to know what you must do in order that you might be saved. I'll tell you, you need to hear the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verses 1 through 4. Notice what Paul says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And so you must believe what you have heard. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must repent of your sins. Luke 13 and 3 and verse 5, I'll tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him shall I confess before my Father which art in heaven. Last but not least, be baptized in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you rise up out of that water, Acts 2, 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Then he wants us to remain faithful unto death in order that we might receive the crown of life, which was promised the believers at the beginning of this journey. May God bless you. And now I turn the service back over to Brother Tommy Brooks.
Wow, Brother Stan, thank you. I think we now know we want to avoid this torment that comes after death. You know, in the world, people want to believe everyone is going to heaven. There is a heaven to win and a hell to miss. This book teaches us that we must do everything we can to avoid this place called hell. Thank you, Brother Span, for breaking it down to us. It's clear to me that I don't want to go to that place. I want my inheritance. And I want you to know, if you're visiting tonight and you're on the call, that we don't want you to go either. And we believe you on this call, you don't want to go. So here's what we want you to do. If you're on the call tonight and you want to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, that you may be saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, added to the only church in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ, I want you to do me a favor. Get back with the person who invited you to this call. Or email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. We will make arrangements for wherever you're at in the United States or wherever you're listening on this call. We'll get a Church of Christ preacher to you and get you baptized. If you have further questions and you want to ask Brother Span a question, just email us. We'll get it to him, and I know he'll be happy to ask. If you give a Bible question, he'll give you a Bible answer. We're Bible people. We believe that the Bible has the right answer. If you want to listen again, you say, well, I want to hear that again, or some scriptures I missed, go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And you just go up there, click on sermons, click on Nationwide Gospel Meeting, and all the sermons from May up to tonight, for any topics you want as it pertains to your salvation, they're recorded. The speakers are on there. We have many great speakers, and we want you to listen to it. And here's what we need you to understand. Tomorrow's not promised. There are some people who will lay down tonight, but they won't wake up in the morning. What if that's you? Why not be baptized tonight? Why not be washed in the blood? Why, Brother Brooks? To avoid torment after death. The rest of the week, we got some great speakers coming up. Brother Nathan Franson from California, he's going to speak about the truth about the wages of sin. Brother Thomas Foster, on this coming Wednesday night, we're talking about the truth about the power of the cross. Brother Glenn Colley, Thursday night, we're talking about the truth about the seed. The seed must be sown in a good heart in order to produce fruit. And then last night, closing this week, will be Brother Keith Mosier, talking about the truth about the precious blood of the Lamb. And we got a great lineup of speakers and topics for next week, starting the week of July. And we also have added another line. Tonight's call is large, and we're getting more callers every week, and we're so thankful for Monday night. So many people listening tonight to the members of the church. We pray you're being edified. We pray that if you left the Lord, that you too need to understand. You need to restore, repent, come back to the truth. If you have departed from it, come back to the truth, because you too have heard the truth about torment. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your many blessings of life. Thank you for this night. Thank you for your book called the Bible. Thank you for your word. As we study it, we can find the simple truth about what we must do to avoid torment. Thank you for Jesus, for loving us, for his life on the cross, for the death, burial, and resurrection, for the precious blood that washed our sins away in baptism. And that same blood purchased his church. Thank you for Brother Norman. Thank you for the message. Thank you for the simplicity of the message. And now we pray a special prayer for our visiting audience, those who are members of the church that have left the Lord, that they too need to come home. We pray for a great restoration and a great revival for those who are members of the Lord's church. And we pray for our visitors, our VIPs, who are not members of the Lord's church, that they too will understand we speak the truth in love, but they must receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. We pray this prayer tonight in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. We pray that you've enjoyed the message tonight. Call in tomorrow night. Be early now. A lot of people calling in 15 to 10 minutes early. Ensure your spot. Call in tomorrow night. It's my prayer tonight, though. If you lay your head on the pillow, then it's not the dying pillow. Unless you're saved. How do you avoid torment? Obey God. For tonight could be your last night. Hope you rest peacefully. May God bless.